All right, then we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So our daf this morning is Ayin Ches, but we'll pick up on the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. So we left off seven lines up from the bottom. Shemen kedei losuch ever katan. So for oil, you're chayiv if you carry out on Shabbos enough to go ahead. Losuch literally means to anoint, to shmir a small limb. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. Shemen kedei losuch ever katan shel katan ben yomo. Shabiyane qualifies this a little bit, and he says, or qualifies it a lot, and he says, we're talking about your chayiv on Shabbos. Remember, we'll say the common denominator among our entire discussion over here is your only chayiv for otzah on Shabbos if you carry out something that is chashuv. Something that is chashuv, so we're giving the most basic, smallest units of chashivos. Shabiyane comes along and says, what are we talking about? Enough oil to go ahead and shmir a small limb of a child who is one day old. Now, we'll say Rashi points out over here the following. Rashi says, Aver Katan, Rashi gives an example, Echad Mifrike Etzba, or Mipirke Etzba Kitana. So what's an example of a small limb, like a knuckle? A knuckle. So enough oil to go ahead and shmir, like a knuckle, a joint, of a one-day-old child. Not a lot, of a one-day-old child. Fine. Neisei, Sigmarei Zekasha. Shemen Kedei Losuch Aver Katan, V'Katan Ben Yomo. Now the Brisa says that you're chayiv for carrying out enough oil to shmir a small limb, or a child who is one day old. My love, Aver Katan de Gadol, the Aver Gadol shall Katan ben Yomo. Is the Brisa not giving us two different measurements? Measurement number one is the small limb, the small part of a body, which could also be the knuckle of Aver Katan. I'm sorry. My love, Aver Katan de Gadol is not referring to the small part of a body of a Gadol, the Aver Gadol Shal Katan, or the large limb of a small child, Ben Yomo. This is what it means to say, Shemen Kedei Lasuch Aver Katan Shal Katan Ben Yomo. So Rabbi Yanai sticks by his position and he says that even the Braisa only refers to the amount of oil necessary to shmir on a small limb of a child who is only one day old. Lema Ketanoi. So Mara says, perhaps this is machlokes tanoim. Shemen kedei losoch iver katan vikatan ben yomo divir Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So Shimon Elazar's version is your chayiv carried enough oil to go ahead and shmir on a small limb, or on kedei losoch iver katan, or on a katan ben yomo. Rabbi Nasa says kedei losoch iver katan. Rabbi Nasa just says in order to shmir a small limb. My love, b'hakamim figure. They're not arguing about the following point. Rabbi Shem ben Elazar sover aver katan shel katan. Rabbi Shem ben Elazar holds that shechayi for going ahead and shmiring the small limb of a small child of a katan. Rabbi Nelson sover aver katan de gadol, and Rabbi Nelson holds it refers to the small limb of an adult. Oh, aver gadol de katan, or it refers to a large limb of a young child. Aval aver katan shel katan ben yom alo, but the amount of oil to shmir a small limb of a one-day-old child is not significant enough to be chayiv on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, lo, v'chuli alma aver katan de katan ben yomo. Everyone agrees that the amount of oil to shmir on a small limb of a child who's one day old, lo, is not significant enough to make you chayiv on Shabbos. V'lesa de Rabbi Yanai, and therefore they reject the position of Rabbi Yanai. Because Rabbi Yanai, remember, was the one who, in the beginning of this Gemara, highlighted this idea, the amount of Shemen Yechayi for is Kedei Losuch Ever Kadan Shal Kadan Ben Yomo. V'ha'acha b'hai kamifligi. Aye, so what are they arguing about over here? Rabbi Shemen Elazar Sover, Ever Kadan de Gadol, V'Ever Gadol de Kadan Ben Yomo Ki Adodi Ninu. So Rabbi Shemen Elazar says that the size of a small limb of an adult and large limb of a one-day-old child are the same. V'Rabbi Nassan Sover, Rabbi Nassan holds, Ever Kadan de Gadol in, Aver Gadol de Katan Ben Yomo Lo. And Rabbi Nassan holds that no, the shear is the small limb of an adult, but not even the large limb of a one-day-old child. Fine. Okay. May Havi Allah. Smart says, okay, what is the bottom line? How much are you chayiv for? May Havi Allah. Tashma Desanya, Rabbi Shemen Elazar Omer, Shemen Kedei Lasuch Aver Katan Shel Katan Ben Yomo. So you must have a brayso that even closer. Rabbi Shemen Elazar is saying that you're chayiv for carrying out the amount of oil that it takes to go ahead and shmir on the small limb of a one-day-old child. So bottom line, halakha l'maisa, is that one would be chayiv even for transporting out this very small amount of oil. Mayim kedei lashuf b'henes akilar. So if you remember again, so water, you're chayiv if you carry out enough water to go ahead and mix the kilor. The kilor, remember, is this eye salve, is this eye ointment that you're making. So if you carry enough water to mix the eye salve, you're chayiv. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says something very interesting. Michti, kol milsa de shchicha velo shchicha, azul rabbanon baser shchicha lekula. So Abaye said, listen to this. So what Abaye is doing with this funny situation. Let's say you have an item that's used for multiple purposes. So remember, now if you notice, the way that we're establishing for Shabbos purposes, the amount for which you're chayiv for hotzah, is we look at how the item is used. And however the item is used, we take that shear, we take that amount, and that's the amount that you're chayiv for on Shabbos. So Abaye says, let's say you have a situation where an item is used for more than one thing. So how do you determine which shear you use for Shabbos? So Abaye says, "Kol milsa de shchicha velo shchicha." If you have an item that's used for two purposes, but one is common and one is uncommon, azul rabbanon basar de shchicha lekula. The rabbis follow the common use, even if what? Even if that results in a leniency. Now, how would it result in a leniency, Abosai? Larger shear. So let's say again, it's used for purpose A and purpose B. Purpose A has a smaller shear, purpose B has a larger shear. But purpose B is the more common usage. We go after purpose B, even though again it's the larger shear. Fine. Shchicha. What happens if an item is used for two purposes? And both of those purposes are common. Then in that case, the rabbis go after the more common use that results in the chumra, i.e. the smaller shear. So the Gemara gives some examples. Yayin, shtiyas or shchicha, refuas lo shchicha. When it comes to wine, so drinking of wine is a common usage of wine, but the use of wine for refua is not as common. Now, when would you use wine for refua? Well, I guess many people self-medicate with wine, but look at Rashi for just a moment. Refuas lo shchicha, kegon loshuf bo kilor. So apparently this kilor, this eye salve, we've already seen, you could use a lot of different liquids. You could use wine, you could use human milk. So I guess Rashi points out over there that kilor was the most obvious one. And Rashi goes on to point out that most people would not use wine for kilor. Why? Because since you could really use any liquid for kilor, to use an expensive liquid like wine for kilor doesn't make sense. But the point over here is you have a common usage and uncommon usage. So the common usage is for drinking, the uncommon usage is for drinking. Therefore, azul rabbanon baser shtiyaso de shchicha. The rabbis therefore said that for hotzah purposes, your chayiv on Shabbos. Remember Rosa, we saw your chayiv for carrying out a quarter of a revius of wine concentrate on Shabbos, even though what? Lekula. Even though that results in leniency, because I will say, obviously, you need a lot less than a quarter of a revius to make kilor. So even though, again, by choosing the refuah identity, that would have resulted in a smaller shear, because that's not the dominant usage, we go after the dominant usage, which is shtia, and the shear for shtia is a quarter of a revius. Chalav, achilaso shchicha, Rifu asalo shchicha, same thing with chalav, same thing with milk. So eating a milk, drinking a milk, right? So that's shchiach. Refuah is not shchiach. So same thing about, again, milk was also used for the kilor. For the kilor, therefore, azu rabbanan basar achilaso lekula. So we'll say, again, when determining the shear of milk, remember, what's the shear of milk? We saw this yesterday. Kedei gemiya, right? A swallow full, which is obviously more than the amount of milk you would need to mix kilor. Nevertheless, halach l'maisa, because that's the dominant or the more common usage, we go after that shear. Dvash, look at honey. Achilaso shchicha, refuaso shchicha. So when it comes to honey, honey's an interesting one. Why? Because honey is common to eat it, and it's common also to use it for refuah. Right? Common to use it for refuah. And apparently, when it says that they're both shchicha, what that ultimately means is what? That literally, it's just as common to use honey for eating as it was for refuah. So therefore, azul rabbanon basa refuaso l'chumra. Therefore, the rabbis from Abosai remember. So the shear for eating honey, the shear for eating honey, I guess would depend in terms of if you determine that honey is a dvash. Dvash was included here, right? It's included in the liquid Mishnah, right? So it would be revius. But interesting, if you were to go after shtia. But remember, again, for medicinal purposes, we saw yesterday it was the amount to apply on the top of the sore, which is obviously much less than revius. Therefore, again, we use the shear of refuah, which is the smaller shear rather than the revius shear. So the Gemara says, this is a bias principle. Therefore, now that we've espoused this principle, the Gemara says like this. Remember, I will say, how did this all start? Because the Mishnah said that when it comes to water, you're chayiv for carrying out the amount that you used to mix kilor. So Abaye says, well, 1 second. Says Abaye, Ela mayim, michti, shtiyaso shchicha, rifu aso lo shchicha, my time azur abanan basir rifu aso lo chumra. Says Abaye, now I don't understand. Now when we come to water. So when it comes to water, drinking water is common. Using water for refuah is not as common. Now I will say it doesn't mean people don't use it. It just means that water is more commonly used as a drinking item than it is used as a refuah item. To which the Gemara says, you hear Abaye's kasha. So Abaye's kasha therefore is, why isn't the shear of hotzah for mayim what? Why isn't the revius? Why is it the amount that's mixed into the kilor? Amra Abaye bigalila shanu. So Abaye says, we're talking about the galil. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi, bigalila shanu. Shehein aniyim umakpidim bedavar muat. V'chosin ayayin v'chalav loshuv kilor. V'ein shafin ela b'mayim. V'hilchach rifu also nami shicha uba'ina l'meiz l'chumra. So what's Abaye says, talking about in the galil. Apparently, the Jewish communities in the galil, in the north of Eretz Yisrael, were very poor. This wasn't always like this. But they were very poor, at least times of the Gemara. So therefore, up in the Galil, they never ever made kilor out of wine or out of milk. In other places, as much as people wouldn't necessarily go out of their way to do it, but it wasn't uncommon that it would be used. In the Galil, mamish only water was used for kilor. Therefore, in the Galil, the use of water for drinking or the use of water for refuah was just as common as the use of water for drinking. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, Abaye's principle is that when you have two things that are shchicha, two uses that are both common, we go the chumrah. So the Gemara says, Rava says, afilu tem b'sharm kolos, kiddush shmuel. So Rava says, in reality, you don't have to limit this to the Galil. The Mishnah could be talking about even other places, and reflecting the opinion of Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? Damar Shmuel, listen to this. Kol shekaini masu umetalali lebar mimaya de masu velo metalali. So Shmuel said that all liquids have the ability to heal umetalali. And also what he's talking about is the fact when you use this kilor, apparently one of the we'll call it negative side effects is that often the paste would form a film over the eye, which obviously would impede sight. You'd have to get rid of the film. So Abaye says, normally all liquids, when you use them in the kilor, masu, they heal, umetalali, they also, here, if you look at Rashi, mesachachin ala ayin umone miri aso, ad shichla mar aso legomre, vibnei shein oven v'nigladin kamin devek. So he says they would form a film that would literally obstruct vision. So all liquids used in kilor heal on one hand, but also form a film over the eye. Lebar mimaya, with the exception of water, the muscle that heals, the lometalali, and does not form this film. So Rava therefore says that even outside of the Galil, people always used water for their kilor. Not necessarily in the Galil, maybe they did it because it was cheap, but even outside the Galil they did it. Why? Because it was the most effective way of making kilor. Therefore, says Rava, Mayim could be one of those situations where it's shchicha l'shtiya, shchicha l'refua, and remember, whenever we have two uses of a particular item, we always go what? We always go l'chumra in determining the shear. Therefore, the Mishnah paskins that the shear for otzah for mayim is the amount used to mix kilor. Ushar kolashkin b'revius. And all other liquids are measured with a revius. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, dam, v'chomine mashkin b'revius, blood, and for that matter, all other liquids, yuchayi for otzah v'kari ad revius. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar omer, dam, kedei likcho ba'ayin achos. Rav Shimon Elazar says that you're chayiv for carrying out the amount of blood that it would take to go ahead and apply to one eye. Why would you apply blood to one eye? Shekein kolchlin lebarkis. Because people go ahead and apply blood to an eye as a way, as a medicinal remedy for barkis. What's barkis? Rashi says, shekein kolchlin lebarkis maila shebolates v'ayin. Maila means some kind of foreign object. Says a speck, literally. Something that gets embedded in the eye. Apparently, blood was one of the ways that they flushed the item out of the eye. So you're chayiv if you go ahead and you apply enough blood for one eye. Umayinu, what kind of blood do we use? Dama de tarnagolis bra. We go ahead and we use the blood of a wild man. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, dam kedei likcho bo ayin achos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, also blood, you're chayiv carry out the amount that it would take to apply to one eye, shekein kolchlin liyarot, because this is how people went ahead and addressed yarot as a cataract. Right? So the way that people would address, would try to medicinally address cataract is by applying blood to the eye. Umaynihu. And what kind of blood is this? Dama de krushtina. Blood of a mole. Blood of a mole. And how do you know which type of blood to use for which kind of ailment? Visimanach gava le gava, bra le bra. Look at Rashi. Rashi says gava. Krushtina matzui b'soch ha'yishov. A mole is ultimately found in place where people live. Shehuli yarut shushokeh b'soch ha'ayin. So ultimately, that which is inside is applied to that which is inside. So the cataract which is in the eye, uses the blood of the mole, which is ultimately found within the habitation of man. Bra libra. Whereas the speck, which is really a far outer protrusion, right, on the eye, how is that taken care of? That's taken care of with the blood of the wild hen that does not live in habitation. Okay? But Bezer Amurim, when is this true? Bimotzi, this is only talking about when you're carrying the object out. Abal bimatsnia, but if this is something that you store, kol shehu chayiv, any amount you would be chayiv for. We'll say we'll clarify what this means in just a moment. Rabbi Shimon says, when is this true? This is when you're storing the item. But if you carry it out, you're only chayiv with the revius. Umodim chachamim the Rabbi Shimon b'motzi shovchim the Rosh Hashanah m'shishurim b'revius. And the chacham agree with Rabbi Shimon that if you carry wastewater out to the Rosh Hashanah, you're chayiv if you carry the revius. Now, what is this price they're talking about? Amar Mar b'medra memurim b'motzi aval b'matznia kol shehu. So the Bryce said before that when is all of this true? If you're carrying out, but if you're storing an item, you're chayiv for any amount. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Atu matznia lav motzihu. The case over here, remember what I said, is a case of hotzah. So there's no such thing as a person just storing something for the sake of storing something. The case of, remember, what does matznia have to do with anything? Matznia, we saw this 2 days ago, matznia represents the idea that if you store a particular shear of an item, what does that show? That item is choshev for you. But the chashivus of the item is only important vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis hotzah. There's no Isra and Shabbos of storing. The Isra is one of hotzah. Amr Abai, listen to this. Hacham Ayaskin, what are we talking about over here? This is fascinating. B'talmid sh'amr lo rabo, leich upenei li hamakom l'su'udah. So the case over here is talking about a situation of a Talmud, of a Rebbe who told this Talmud, go and clear out for me a particular place for my su'udah. For my su'udah, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Amr Abai Hacham B'talmid, Kigon shule denagri, sh'omer lo rabo, leich upenei li hamakom. So it's interesting. So Rabbi happens to put it up, he happens to frame the case as like an apprenticeship. So Rabbi's telling his Talmud, go into my house and clear away for, or go, not into my house, but go and clear away objects for me so we can sit down and have a meal. Upana lo dabar chashuv l'kol chayiv. Chayiv iluya. If it turns out that then the Talmud ends up transporting an item, it does an act of hotzah, an item that is considered to be chashuv for everybody, then he's obviously chayiv. Davar she'enu chashuv l'kol. What happens if he ends up carrying an item, if he does an act of hotzah, on an item that's not chashuv, considered chashuv for everybody? So the Gemara says, I atznoi ravei mechayiv iluye. If his Rebbe considers him it chashuv, then he's chayiv for that. The ilo, and if not, lo mechayiv. Now, also remember we had this before. This is the statement of Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar wanted to suggest that halacha lemaisa, if you store something away, that by definition makes it chashuv. And even if what? Even if someone else transports that item, they will be chayiv for hotzah on that item. Why? I and the rest of the world, this eyes of the world, is not considered chashuv. Once I stored it away, I made it into a davar chashuv to the point that even if someone else transports it, they will be chayiv for that as well. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, we happen not to pass in that way, but Lamaisa, the Gemara is suggesting that's what the Braisa refers to. That's the case of matznia. That even if you have an object that is objectively not chashuv, but I'm moving it for someone who stored it away, and therefore in their eyes, it is chashuv, I would be chayiv for an act of hotzah for transporting a chashuv item. Amar Mar, modim chacham l'Rav Shimon, b'motzi shokhan l'shazaradim, shirin b'revius. So the Braisa said, the Chumam Modet Rabbi Shimon, that if you go out and you carry out wastewater into Rosh Sarabin, that's your chayiv, as long as you carry the shear of a revius. Shovchin lemaychazu. But what is wastewater good for? To go ahead and knead clay. To knead clay, so wastewater is good for kneading clay. But the Braisa said that you're only chayif for carrying the amount of clay to make a pikur. Now look at Rashi just a moment ago. We'll say pikur. Rashi says, Nekev shenostin bo hamafuach v'shiura zutohu. So the core really is like I guess you'd call it like a smelting pot. It's where you melt down metals. So what they would do is the opening of that core had like a clay lip. So on Shabbos, you're chayv if you carry out the amount of clay in order to go ahead and make the lip for this pot in which the metals were melted down. So Rashi points out over here, he says, V'harevi umeirevius chazi legabel tuva. V'chevan da'otzaz tit chashiva b'chdei pikor ba'ina nami l'shuri b'hanach tov letit b'chdei gibo pikor. So what says, the Gemara says like this, so halocha l'maisa, if the shear for clay is the amount that it takes to make the lip all around the kli, then what? The amount of wastewater that you should be chayiv for is what? Is the amount of wastewater that would be necessary to go ahead and knead the clay to go ahead and make that lip. That would be less than a revius amount. So halacha l'maisa, why does the Mishnah say you're only chayiv for a revius? To which the Gemara says, lefi she'in adam torech l'gai b'altid lasos pikor. Because people don't just need clay in order to make a little lip of a clay. If a person's already needing clay, right? Im kvar az kvar. If a person's already needing clay, then what? They're going to need a lot of clay. It's just the derech ha'olam, is that people don't need a little bit here, need a little bit there. They need a lot. They need with a K. They need a lot at once. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, you're only for wastewater, which is used to knead clay, you're only chayiv if you carry out a significant amount of wastewater that would allow you to knead a significant amount of clay. Even though the amount of clay for which you chayiv for otzah is a smaller amount, the amount that you would need to make the lip around this core. Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi chelva kedei lasos ozen l'kupa. So again, still about saying now we are transitioning to objects. So now we're going to discuss the shear of otzah by objects. So if you carry out a chevel as a rope, how much rope do you have to carry out in order to be chayiv? On Shabbos, what's considered to be a chashuv amount of rope? Kedei lasos ozen l'kupa, right? In order to go ahead and make an ozen is a handle, kupa is a basket. Enough rope to make a handle for a basket. Gemi is reed grass. Kedei lasos t'loi l'nafa u'l'kavra. So reed grass, you're chayiv if you carry out enough to make a handle, to make a handle for a naf and a kara, for a sifter and a sieve. Rabbi Huda says, kadei litol mimeno midas minal lakatan. Rabbi Huda says, no, you're chayiv if you carry out the amount, we'll discuss it, we'll say what Rabbi Huda is commenting on. Is Rabbi Huda commenting on the rope? Or is he commenting on the gemi? But the point is, he says that you're chayiv for carrying out enough. It's interesting. How did a person have to get shoes made for their child? So he went to the shoemaker, right? They were only custom shoes, right? You went to the shoemaker. So how did you show the shoemaker how big the shoe needs to be? You would take the measurement of the child's foot on a piece of rope, right? And you would bring it to the shoemaker and say, I need a shoe that's this long. So Rabbi Huda says that's the significant shear. Again, we'll see whether it's chevel or whether it's gemi, or whether it's both. That's the shear for which you'd be chayiv. The amount, the midah, the size of a rope that you would need in order to measure a child's foot. Niyar, paper. How much paper are you chayiv for carrying out on Shabbos? Now Rashi's are both saying, sometimes niyar could refer to different types of parchment. Here Rashi points out over here is niyar me'asavim osim osa. This is talking about paper that was made from plants. Plant paper. So not parchment, that's his point. So niyar, kedei lichtov alav kesher muhsin. So paper, you chayiv if you carry out the amount, the shear on which you would write a kesher muhsin. What's kesher muhsin? Yesh lecha adam shenosin hameches l'rosh hanar, b'makom echad, omochalov matana, v'moser lo chosim laharos l'mochas, shemachalo hameches. V'darko lichtov bo shtei osios, v'hin gidolos v'shtei osios shelanu. Tax receipt. If you paid your taxes, and you wanted to show, because sometimes, there might be tax collectors at different points, so you don't want to get double charged. So they would have a piece of paper. We'll discuss exactly what this paper had on it. It had two large letters. These large letters were larger than our letters. We'll discuss what kind of letters they were. But this is the small amount of paper for which you're chayiv on Shabbos. It's a significant amount of paper. Large enough that you can write a tax receipt on it. V'amotzi kesha mochsen chayiv. And if you go ahead and therefore take out the tax receipt on Shabbos, if you carry it out, you're chayiv niyar machok. If you have an erased piece of paper, right, Narashi points out over here, shuv in aroy lichtov. Now, once a paper has been erased, it's not really usable for writing anymore. So if you had an erased piece of paper, kedei lichroch al atzluchis, atzluchis kitana shel plaiton. So your chayiv, if it's large enough to go ahead and be used to wrap around the opening of a small flask of balsam oil. Or leather. Leather, or we'll see, also, this could also mean parchment, but we'll go with leather right now. Kedei lasos kamiya, enough to make an amulet. Cloth, parchment. Kedei lichtov alav parshe kitana shebetil in shishema yisrael. So parchment, you're chayiv if you carry out enough of a piece, a small enough piece, to be able to write on it Shema, because this is the right. This is the smallest parsha in Kriya Shema. Dio, ink, kadei lichtov beis osios, enough to write two letters. Kachol means literally like eye coloring. Eye makeup. Good eye makeup. Although we'll see the reason I'm saying makeup. We'll see, it's not dafka, just makeup. Things that are applied to the eye, kachol, kadei lichol ayin achas. We'll go with makeup. In order to color one of the eyes. Devek. So we'll see over here, Rashi points out. Devek. Glid. Like glue. But any, we'll call it an adhesive. Kadei litein berosha shifshaf. Enough in order to put on the top of the board. Obviously, we'll define all of these cases in the Gemara. Zephes vegafris, pitch and sulfur, kedei laasos nekev. Enough to go ahead, it literally means to make a hole. What it actually means is to go ahead and fill a hole. But we'll discuss that in the Gemara as well. Shava, wax, kedei litein api nekev katan. Enough to go ahead and put on top of a small hole. Charosis, now look at Rashi, we'll say charosis, is levena ketusha, crushed brick. Chosocharosis kedei laasos pikor shel tzarfei zav. So remember again, we had the core in the previous gemara. The core is this pot in which metal was melted down. So charosis, crushed brick, is enough to make that lip on the top of the core that's used for melting down gold. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says kedei laasos pitput. Enough to go to make a pit, enough, the charos for crushed brick, you chayiv is carried enough to make a pit put. What's a pit put? Rashi says, pit put, I just like saying the word, pit put. Regel lemakom moshav hakor, it's a base on which the core would sit on. Shahayu moshivin al-kena asui lakach kagon tripod. Isn't that interesting? There's a tripod, right? Lasos lishpo sakidera. It's a tripod, so it's a base on which the core would sit. It's amazing. Subin is bran. How much bran are you chayiv for? Kedei litein al, I will say, even though bran, you would have thought should have been in the food mishnah. Remember, first of all, again, as much as, all right, bran is, part of our health kick today. Nobody was eating bran in the times of the Gemara, right? The only things who ate bran were animals, right? No human being, maybe Aniyim, the destitute would eat bran. So again, the reason it's bringing it up over here is because since we're talking about the core, so the Mishnah mentions it over here. So subin bran kedei litein al pikur shel tzarfei zav, enough to go ahead and put on the opening of the core of those who melt down gold. We'll discuss exactly what was done with this. So Rashi just points out subin kedei litein al pikur shel tzarfei zav machom shein pechamin tzarfin zav ve'eish shel subin. We'll see that in places where, for whatever reason, they did not have any kind of coal. So what they would use to heat the fire of melting down gold was actually bran. Sid is lime or plaster. Kedei losud kitana shebebaros. In order to, now we'll say, interestingly enough, sid, Rashi says, losud kitana shebebaros, toflo sid lahashir saser. So lime was used as a depilatory. That's what women used to remove hair. So interestingly enough, so the amount that Shechayi for using lime on Shabbos is enough to go ahead and kedei losur kitana shebebanos, in order to go ahead and remove the hair from the smallest limb of a small of a young girl, really a small amount. Rabbi Huda Omer, kedei lasos kalkal. Rabbi Huda says it's enough to go. You have to carry out enough sid in order to lasos kalkal. Kalkal means that women would also use sid, would also use this lime to go ahead and make the hair on their temples stand down, like almost like a gel, like a gel for their hair. Rabbi Nechemiah says, "Kedei lasud un dapi," in order to go ahead and lasud un dapi to shmir. People would also shmir it, not just as a depilatory, but apparently also for skin care. So enough to shmir on your forehead. Okay, says the Gemara. Chevel nami kedei. So Rav Yosef, remember again, the Mishnah when it spoke about the chevel said that you're chayif for carrying out a chevel, the amount to go ahead and make an ozen lekupa and lekupa lekupa, right? And then when it spoke about the gemi, the reed grass, was have to carry enough to make a handle for the napa and the kavra. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The chevel nami lechayif kedei lasos teloi lenapo lekavra. So why is there a difference? Why is it that by chevel, meaning if the whole idea that the rope is being used as a handle, so why isn't the shear for a rope also the amount to go ahead and make a handle for a napa and the kavra, for a sifter and the sieve? Meaning, why is the rope only limited to the case of the basket and not used by the sifter and sieve as well? To which the Gemara says, Kevan decharik bimana lo avid inshi. To which the Gemara says, because since the rope was coarse, so because the rope was coarse, it would cut into the actual kli of the sifter and the sieve, and therefore it was not used to make a handle for these items. Tan Rabbanan, chutzin kedei lasos ozen l'sal kafifa mitzris. If you have chutzin, now again look at Rashi, chutza shalu lave dekel. So chutza means palm branches, right? If you go ahead and you carry out palm branches, so how much are you chayif carrying out? Kedei lasos ozen, enough to go ahead and make an ozen is literally ear. What it also means is a handle. For an Egyptian reed basket. Okay. Sieve. What about a sieve? Now, a sieve, well, so we've had this a number of, we actually already had this back in Brachos. The sieve refers to the vine that grows around palm trees. So people all often use this vine for different materials as well. So if a person went ahead and carried out the vine that grows around the palm tree, how much are you chayif for carrying on Shabbos? So achirim omrim kedein litein al pi mishpach katan l'sanein es hayayin. Enough to go ahead and put on top of a small funnel that's used to go ahead the sanein, that's used to go ahead and filter wine. Rivav, grease. So grease your chayv if you carry out enough to go ahead and smear the side of a wafer. So we'll say a spagin, Rashi points out over here, is a spagin rokik shenostin batanor betachin tachlam alya. So it's a rokik, it's a wafer, it's not a loaf of bread. So what would they do? You would take this little piece of dough, you would smear the bottom of it with grease. And then you would attach it to the oven. The goal would be that it shouldn't burn too quickly, and you should be able to remove it from the side of the oven. So if you carry out grease on Shabbos, you're chayef for the amount that you would have put underneath the small wafer. The kamashura, how much is that? Kisela, the amount, it's a sella's worth of grease. Aye, but we learned elsewhere that you're chayef for carrying out the grogeres, a dried fig's worth of grease. In reality, they're both the same shear. So the Gemara goes on. Muchin, what about muchin? Muchin is cotton. Kedei laasos kader kitana. Enough cotton, you be chayif for carrying cotton if you carry out enough to make a small ball of cotton. The kamashiro, and how much would that be? Keegos, the size of a nut. Niyar, kedei lichtov alov kesher muchsin. So remember the Mishnah said that for paper, you're chayif if you carry out enough to write a tax collector's receipt. Tana kama kesher mochsin, how much is the tax collector's receipt? Meaning, how large is that piece of paper? Shtei osios, enough to write two letters. So the Gemara says, or minhu. Now, I will say, Rashi points out over here, shtei osios. Rashi says, kasaka daitcha shtei osios didon dezutron. Now, the assumption when it says two letters, it means two of our letters, which are relatively small, which would make the kesher mochsin a very small piece of paper. Or minu, but the Gemara is the kasha. Hamotzi niyar chalak, if one carries out a blank piece of paper, im yesh bo kedei lichtov shtei osios chayiv, if it's large enough to write two letters, aren't you chayiv? V'im lav potter, and if not, you're potter. So, Amar Rav Sheshes, my shtei osios, what does it mean, two letters? Shtei osios shel kesher mochsin. It refers to two letters of a tax collector's receipt. Rava Amar, Rava says the following. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, No, not yet, sorry. Rava Amar, Shte Osios Didan. It actually refers to two of our letters, Ubeis Achiza, and Beis Achiza. Beis Achiza literally means a place to hold the piece of paper, which also means what? That a blank piece of paper. So it means an area in which you can write two letters, and a blank piece in which you could hold it without obscuring the letters. Dahainu Kesha Mukhsin. Because that's the shear of a tax collector's receipt. So we'll say, apparently, on a tax... Well, what the Gemara is getting at over here is the tax collector's receipt had two large letters. Therefore, if you want to know the equivalent, you know, in our letters, it would be a piece of paper that had the size to write two regular-sized letters, plus enough of a blank piece that you could hold onto it without obscuring the letters. That's the size of a Kesher Mochsen. So the Gemara says the following. Meisvei. Gemara is the Kesher. Hamotzi niyar machuk. If one goes in and carries out an erased piece of paper, ushtar parua, and a document or a loan document for a loan that has already been paid, imesh beloven kilshalo kede lichtov shtei osios, o bikulo kede lichroch apit luches ketana shel plaiton chayiv. If there is enough space on its empty spot to go ahead and write a kesher mochsin, write shtei osios. Or the piece of paper in general is large enough to go ahead and use to cover a small flask of balsam oil, then you're chayiv. V'imlav, but if not, you're potter. So Gemara says, Bishlam al-Rav Sheish, Da'amar Ma'ay Shtei Osios, Shtei Osios Shakesh HaMukhshin and Shapir. So this makes sense according to Rav Sheish, who holds that the size of a piece of paper is the size of a piece of paper in which you would write two letters of a tax collector's receipt, which are two larger letters. Ela l'Rava Da'amar Shtei Osios Didano Beis Achiza, Da'ainu Kesh HaMukhshin. But according to Rava, who says that the size of that piece of paper is the size in which you would write two of our own letters, plus a little bit of a blank space you could hold without obscuring the letters, and that's a Kesher Mukhsin, Hacha Beis Achiza Lo Tzarech. Here you would not need an empty space in order to hold the piece of paper. Kasha. In Achinami, the Gemara says that is a Kasha according to Rava. Tan Rabbanon, Hamotzi Kesher Mukhsin. If one carries out on Shabbos a Kesher Mukhsin, a tax collector's receipt, Ad Shelo Her Ohu L'Muchas, Chayiv. If you have not yet shown the receipt to the tax collector, then you are chayiv for carrying out the piece of paper. Mishar ola muchas, but once you have shown it to the tax collector, potter. Then I will say, what? Then you would not be chayiv for carrying this out on Shabbos. What does that mean? Well, what the Gemara seems to be saying is that halacha lemaisa, according to the Tanakama, if you have not yet shown the receipt to the tax collector, then you're chayiv. Why? Because it's still significant, because you still need it. But once you've gone ahead and showed it to a tax collector, and you've been freed from you've shown that you've paid your tax liability, the piece of paper is really no longer significant, and therefore if you carried it out on Shabbos, you'd be potter. Why are you potter? Because you're carrying an insignificant item. Rabbi Huda says no. Af mishehur lemuchas chayiv. Rabbi Huda says no. Even once you showed it to the tax collector, you're chayiv. Why? Mepnei shetzarech lo. Because you always need to keep your tax receipts. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what are they arguing about?" Amar Rabbi Ika benayu rihati muchsa. So it could be that what they're arguing about is the rihati muchsa. The rihati muchsa literally means the runners for the tax collectors. What does this Gemara say? That the tax collectors would often send agents ahead of them to begin to get people to start paying up their taxes. So one man, the Amr, says that people care about the rihati muchsa, and therefore I want to be able to have my tax receipt to go ahead and pay the agents who come. And others say, we don't care about the Riyati Muksa. The major tax collector already knows they already paid my taxes. Rava Amar, Muchas Gadol, Muchas Katan, Ika Benayu. Rava says, no, the point of contention is literally the head tax collector and the secondary tax collector. So I'll say what will end up happening is often the head tax collector knows that I already paid my taxes. The secondary one does not know. So the Shaila is, do people keep their tax receipts in order to go ahead and show the secondary tax collector, or do we assume that I'm going to get waved through? Right, Rashi points out they would often collect the taxes on bridges, so that when the major tax collector sees me, he's going to wave me through anyway, because he already knows that I paid my tax collector. So machlokes is whether or not people save their tax receipt, or whether people have to save their tax receipt in order to go ahead and avoid being harassed by the more minor tax collector. Ika benayu, others say, Rav Ashi Amar, Chad Muchas Ika benayu. Bibnei Shetarach Laharos Lala Muchas Sheni. Da Amar Le, Chazi Gavra de Muchas Ana. Or others say, no, the point of contention is even with one tax collector. And what's the machlokas? The machlokas is, do people go ahead and save their tax receipts? Lav Dafka just for here. But the truth is, let's say you go to a different place and there are people harass you, telling you that you never pay your taxes on time. Is it important for people to have documentation on them to indicate that I do pay my taxes, right? That I'm an upstanding citizen and I can use that wherever I go to show that I'm someone who abides by the law. It's good for my street credit. So I will say this. So therefore, this is what machlokis comes up. The fundamental machlokis is after really I've taken care of my tax liability, does the receipt have a chashivos or not? So some say yes, some say no. Hence the machlokis about how large a piece of paper actually has to be, or really what it comes down to is, hence the machlokis of, once I have been freed from my tax liability, is the tax receipt still considered significant or not for hotzah purposes? I would say to be, we'll continue this tomorrow, Mir Tzachem.
We'll up here tomorrow.
Well, that's the question. The sheer of the paper, is the tax collected? No. So the question is the sheer of the paper only significant when the tax receipt itself is significant? But if the tax receipt itself is not significant, we have another sheer of the paper, which is the amount of the class of also.